Radio friends, I come to you again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank him for this opportunity again he has given us to search the scriptures. Today I'll be speaking on prerequisites for gaining higher spiritual ground. Prerequisites for gaining higher spiritual ground. And our text is taken from St. John's Gospel, chapter 7. Reading at verse 37, John 7, 37 to 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Prerequisites for gaining higher spiritual ground. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for this hour. I want to commit into your hands all my radio friends and myself, and ask that you will speak to us now from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have seen gaining higher spiritual ground as exemplified in the life of the Apostle Paul. We saw Paul's intolerance of status quo Christian life, his dissatisfaction with wishy-washy, Sunday-only, pew-warming Christianity. The Apostle Paul wanted more. He wanted to know Christ and his fullness, as he expressed in Philippians 3 verse 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." He desired very strongly to gain a higher spiritual ground. With every fiber of his being, he strained for the prize of knowing Christ experientially and intimately. What do we mean by gaining higher spiritual ground? To refresh our memory from the previous lessons, it means experiencing Jesus Christ in a personal, intimate, or deeper way. A spiritual high is the same as a spiritual depth. Deeper spiritual life is what gaining a higher spiritual ground is all about. In practical terms, one who is gaining a higher spiritual ground is becoming more and more like Jesus. He or she is increasingly becoming a reflection of Jesus Christ, not a distortion of him. How do we gain higher spiritual ground? One, reject promptly the flaws in your character the moment they try to rear up their ugly heads. Secondly, always remember that you have not yet arrived. You are still an ongoing divine project, an unfinished spiritual product. Number three, forget your past successes and or failures if they do not help you to do better in the present. Number four, press on, pursue, chase Jesus Christ instead of yielding to discouragement. And fifthly, lay hold of the purpose for which Jesus laid hold of you. Don't ever forget that the Lord saves for his own purpose, not yours, not mine. And finally, fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, that is, live a life of dependence on him, the only one who will lift you up to the higher spiritual ground. Next, let us see two simple prerequisites for gaining a higher spiritual ground in the words of Jesus in the text we read, John 7, 37 to 39. When did he, Jesus, give these prerequisites? In other words, we're asking the question regarding context. The scripture says on the last day of the feast, what feast? The Feast of Tabernacles. And if we read from verse 1 of John 7, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." In other words, advertise yourself. That's the last thing Jesus would do. Verse 5, "For even his brothers did not believe in him." That's why they spoke like that. Then Jesus said to them in verse 6, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready." That's an indictment. It's not a compliment. God established the Feast of Tabernacles under Moses way back in Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 verse 33, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord.'" The Feast of Tabernacles represented Israel in the wilderness on their way to the Promised Land. During the Feast of Tabernacles, the priests will draw water from the pool of Siloam and take it back to the temple and pour it out from the altar, and it will flow. And as they poured it out, the choir will be chanting Psalm 111 to 118. On the last day, the highest day of the feast was observed as a Sabbath. The priests made their usual procession around the altar, but 7 times instead of once. It was at this high point that Jesus cried out, apparently, as the priests poured the water out from the altar, and as the water flowed down, Jesus made this utterance, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." In the scripture, water is a symbol of God's provision of grace, the image of God's life, the gift of life. The river of water of life that proceeds from the throne of God in Revelation 22 verse 1 is what Jesus offers in John 7 verse 37 to anyone who thirsts. Here now lies the first prerequisite for gaining higher spiritual ground: thirst, thirsting. David spoke of this thirst in Psalm 63 verse 1. Psalm 63 verse 1, "O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." The sons of Korah did the same in Psalm 42 verses 1 and 2. Psalm 42, 1 and 2, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Thirst is desire, intense desire, as we see in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter 2, 2, "As newborn babes, desire or crave the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Thirsting represents intense desire. Man's desire or thirst for God is met only in Jesus Christ. Sin is substituting this thirst with anything other than God as manifested in Jesus Christ. The reason people sin is because they find in it something to satisfy the longings inside them. Those who desire God are willing to give up the things that interfere with getting this greatest desire. This is one principle behind fasting. The laws God gives us are his way of saying to us, "Drop that, so you can have me." God is not trying to deny you some pleasures of life. He is trying to give you greater pleasure, gaining higher spiritual ground, knowing him more intimately. One dear servant of God once said, we find ourselves able to say no to some things because there is a bigger yes burning deep within us. Let me conclude very quickly with prerequisite number two. The first one is thirsting. The second one is drinking. Drinking means believing. It means aligning yourself with Jesus. It means trusting him. It means receiving him and his teachings and doing what he says. That's what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. The water of life here is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in the believer, not as a lake, but as a river. And he wants to flow out. Will you let him out? So the world will see and believe that Jesus is the only Savior and Lord, their primary and only need. Radio friend, have you received this Jesus? Shall we pray? We are thankful again, Father, for your word. We're praying, O God, that those who have had me will come to the experience of having this water of life, which the Holy Spirit ministers in the lives of all who have believed in Jesus Christ. May this water of life flow through us all. And may it also wash off all the dirt and everything that hinders us from gaining a deeper knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.